Well, welcome. Great to see you here this evening. And we're turning to Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to come back to what I'm going to call an anchor text, verse 11. And we'll read the remainder of the chapter and then come back to some of the main highlights of this passage. So Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 11. And you can understand that this is very helpful for our prayer time, as there is the command here to ask of the Lord. You have the very command in here, ask of me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Well, in a first reading of this passage for you, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've already been reading this and reading ahead and trying to think about this. But immediately, the thing that jumps to mind as you read through these verses is that we have so much about the gospel, salvation, the Savior, and the word saved comes up 1, 2, 3 times. Savior also comes up 3 times in this passage. And then also the word salvation in verse 17. And so no wonder that Isaiah is called the most evangelical of all the Old Testament prophets. There is more pure gospel references in these writings of Isaiah than any other Old Testament prophet. And of course, he is referring to Jehovah as the Savior. And this Jehovah is our Lord Jesus, because it's the same gospel, it's the same person, it is Jesus, God in the flesh, that is referred to in this passage. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And so prayer is always offered in Jesus' name. And we need to fill every one of our petitions with the name of the Lord Jesus. We're asking in his power and in his authority. You'll also notice at the very end of the passage, verse 23, that one day every knee shall bow unto him. And there you have really what you have in the New Testament, amplified in the New Testament, the fact that every knee will one day bow to the Lord Jesus. Well, tonight we've come to bow our knees and to worship, to pray unto, and to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in this passage, there are 2 anchor texts. And you might wonder what I mean by an anchor text. Well, it's a text that you can use and highlight, and everything else just builds around it. It's like the pillars of a structure, and they seem to hold everything up. And that's verse 11, which we have considered already to some degree, and also verse 17, which says, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." Now, these 2 texts, then, we want to just go into them a little bit. Verse 11 is a vital text because it commands us to ask. And you'll notice it says at the end, "Command ye me concerning the work of my sons and concerning the work of my hands." And the great lesson is that what God has revealed as his will, his decrees, his purposes, that's our cue for prayer. That's our starting point for our coming to the Lord in prayer. Now, last week we read a section out of the book of Daniel, how Daniel was reading books, it mentions, and that the exile would be 70 years. And then on that basis, he began to pray and call upon the Lord, because the promise was based on prayer. Now, I think I have found the verses that Daniel would have read. And if you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. Now, verse 11 will be very familiar to you. And verse 10 talks about the 70 years, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. So, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, he goes right into the situation the people of God would find themselves in exile, horrible, horrible captivity. But he says, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a desired end," or an expected end. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me." Now, you can imagine Daniel reading those words. Daniel discovered that the exile would be 70 years. It was getting close to that time. But he also realized that the promise of the ending of the exile was premised on prayer. And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And so that's what Daniel did. He set himself to pray, and to pray earnestly that the Lord would bring that captivity to an end. And that was the basis of his praying. Now, we have that same principle tonight. What God has revealed, what God has promised that he's going to do in his purposes, he calls us to pray for them. And this comes up over and over in the Bible. Why do we have not? Because we ask not. Why are we told to ask, seek, knock, and it shall be opened unto you? The blessings of God are premised on prayer. And if we are prayerless, the promises will not be fulfilled unto us. They may be carried to another. We may miss the very blessing of God if we don't cry to the Lord in prayer. Now, if you go to Psalm 145, the Psalm 105, where am I at here? And verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now, how do you know tonight that your prayers are based on truth? Because if you don't know that, you might be praying wrongly. You might be praying just your own desires. You might be praying carnally or in ignorance. This is Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And so before we begin to pray, we need the mind of the Lord. We need the truth on the matter. And our praying can be premised on what God has said, what God has revealed. And the Holy Spirit's ministry, Romans 8:26, that he will teach us how to pray with groans and utterances according to the will of God. So it's the Holy Spirit's work in us to stir our hearts to pray, and the Word of God, the truth, must guide us. And so we learn that we need to pray biblical prayers, prayers that are based upon what God has already said. Now, sometimes we don't know the mind of God. If you look at verse 15 in Isaiah 45, and this was somewhat a difficult little statement here, in Isaiah 45, 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. Now, obviously we don't see God. And God is a spirit. But this reference is not really to God hiding and keeping himself away from us, but rather that his will, his purposes, are not always known to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the things that God hath revealed belong unto us, but the things that are not revealed belong unto the Lord our God. So there are purposes that God has not revealed to us. We do not know the day and hour of Jesus' return. We would be fools tonight to pray, Lord, remember, it's 2020 and next year's 2021 and you're coming back next year. That would be wrong. We don't know the day of our own death. That is not revealed to us. Now, we are told that the day of our death is appointed by God. That's already set. the date of our departure from this world is known by God, but he has not revealed that to us. What we are promised is today. We are promised this day, and we are to pray on this basis. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are to pray for the opportunities that we have now. And as we go forward in the will of God, we trust him for the future, whether it's life or death or whatever that may be. And our business is to pray on the things that God has absolutely, clearly revealed. What's that? Preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is something we can pray about tonight. And that is our commission as a church. We must not lose sight of that. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that is something we should pray about. Lord, help us to be more holy. The Lord commanded us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that holy means more separate unto God, more dedicated unto God, consecrated to him, to be free from the carnal thinking and the flesh. Those things were to die to. And so all of those things are revealed. Another thing is we're to pray for laborers in the harvest. The Lord said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers. These are things we can pray, and we can pray boldly, and we can pray with all our hearts and with all our minds. And the thing is, God accomplishes his purpose through our praying. Pentecost didn't come without the 10-day prayer meeting. And the advance of the Church of Christ has always been through prayer. That's why we're here tonight. And I want you to pray tonight with a boldness, a fresh zeal, and a determination as you may never have prayed before. Let's waken up to real praying tonight on the basis of what we know God has said in his word. And we'll never have to apologize for those prayers. We'll never have to take them back. If God has said it, we can pray it. Now the second anchor text is verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Now, it's in the Lord. And I just want to draw a few little thoughts. It's in loyalty to the Lord. Israel is saved by personal loyalty in the Lord. And as you see there in verse 16, that means getting rid of the idols, abandoning any notion of another god. They would have total loyalty unto the Lord, rejecting all idols. And only as we cling to the Lord and remain faithful to him will we be saved. Turning to any other for salvation is absolutely unthinkable. And so Israel shall be saved in the Lord, in loyalty to the Lord. Also, in leaning on the Lord. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is leaning on the Lord. Confessing our weakness, recognizing the Lord's strength and power to enable and equip us. Back in chapter 26, verse 3, you have that text, stayed upon Jehovah. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, what does it mean to be stayed on the Lord? Propped up by the Lord. Because he trusteth in thee. That's leaning on the Lord, trusting him. And in our praying tonight, we must come believing. In Matthew 21:28, it says that that what we ask believing, it shall be done unto us. And so let us be loyal to the Lord. Let's lean upon him. And then in the remainder of these verses, you will see that there is a long-term confidence in the Lord. Everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. The word ashamed there means disappointed. And the word confounded means to be embarrassed. Our God will not fail us right to the end of the world. And in these closing verses, you will see why. In verse 18, he's the master of the world. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. And there is none else. He's the master of the world. In verse 19, he's the minister of righteousness. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And so we have this long-term confidence that it's we can lean on the Lord and trust in him with all our hearts. And then in verse 21, we have this confidence as Savior. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God, and a Savior. Now, what are we to do with the Savior? It says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. By the way, this was the text that Mr. Spurgeon was converted on that snowy Sunday morning when the preacher didn't show up, and a deacon took the service, and he pretty much just quoted the text over and over and over and said a few things about it. And then he said, young man, he was sitting under the balcony, young man, he just pointed right down to him, look unto Jesus. And that was the word that God used to save C.H. Spurgeon when he was 15 years old and lead him to faith in the Lord. And so you can see that you have so much of the gospel here, so much of gospel invitation in that text, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And then in the closing verses, as I noted, verse 23, that he is Lord of all. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so in our praying tonight, let us come with this blessed assurance that our praying is not in vain. It will not be lacking, but the Lord is with us, and that he will in grace and in great mercy meet with us.